You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike Roizen. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We brought back, after 7 years, it took him that long to get us to get back with him. We would have loved him earlier. David Ludwig, who's the, I think you're the chief of pediatric endocrinology at Boston Children's, as well as...
No, don't say that. My boss won't like it. I'm an endocrinologist at Boston Children's.
Ah, so you're not chief there.
I'm not chief, no, and I don't want the administrative responsibilities. I'd rather be doing research.
And he is an outstanding physician. I should tell him, in the interest of fair play, my son is a pediatric endocrinologist at CHOP, Children's Hospital, Philadelphia, but does vitamin D stuff. In any case, David has written, I think it was about 7 years ago, wrote a number one New York Times bestseller, and it's very tough to be number one. And has followed it up with this book, which relates a lot of his science, what he's developed in science, and he is the top of the world in science. So we have to respect and wonder and with awe on that. But he's talked about Always Hungry, and one of the keys on the front cover, and probably I've never heard this before, is retrain your fat cells. So one of the keys in beating back hunger is to retrain your fat cells. David, thanks for being on the show, and tell me, how do we retrain our fat cells?
Well, thanks for the kind introduction. Great to be back with you, Mike. You know, the conventional approach to weight control is based on calorie balance, right? Which is a law of physics, and that law of physics is true. It applies very well to inanimate objects, but humans are dynamic biological systems. So when we eat less and move more, which is the mantra we've been told for decades, sure, we'll lose weight, but what happens? The body fights back. First, we get hungry, and hunger isn't a passing feeling. It's a primal biological signal that the body needs fuel. And very few people can ignore it, but if you try to, the body will fight back even harder. It's got lots of tricks. It'll put you into starvation mode with rising stress hormones and falling metabolic rate. Now, that combination of rising hunger and falling metabolic rate is a recipe for failure. Very few people can keep weight off, the research shows, just by cutting calories. So what's going on, and why are people getting heavier and heavier? I think we've had it in reverse. It's overeating doesn't make you fat. The process of getting fat makes you overeat. And that might sound a little surprising, but you know, there's been a century of research to suggest that body weight is more about biology. Something has triggered our fat cells to suck in too many calories, leaving too few for the rest of the body. That's why we get hungry. That's why our metabolism slows down. And the most likely culprit is all of the processed carbohydrates that have snuck into our diet over the low-fat craze years. They raise insulin. Insulin is the ultimate fat cell fertilizer. That's endocrinology 101. Your son would know it well. And all that insulin is programming our fat cells to go on calorie storage overdrive. When that happens, attempts to cut back calories just make that situation worse. So we have to retrain the fat cells, calm down those fat cells by lowering insulin, calming chronic inflammation. The fat cells open up, they release their calories back into the body. You feel good. Your brain says, wow, that's great. Hunger decreases, metabolism speeds up, and you lose weight with your body's cooperation.
Now, one of the things you make a point of in discussing different fats is that different fats have different effects. And so you talk about the difference between saturated fats and monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats in the diet. So tell us a little bit about that. Tell the, I know I read it, so tell us, and I know it's in the book, so I'm asking you to tell the listeners. And by the way, this is a book that is just crammed full of both wonderful information, but it's also in a real easy way to understand it. So you've done a great job in the book, David. So I appreciate it for the rest of us, if you will, for our patients. This is as good a book as it gets on diet and the physiology of it, because the physiology is not simple, and you do a marvelous job. But tell us about what you've concluded about the different fat.
Okay. Well, first off, so the program in the book, Always Hungry, the Always Hungry program, we call it actually the Always Hungry Solution, is a much higher fat diet. The first 2 weeks is 50% fat, 25% carbohydrate and protein, 25% protein. That high fat diet is the easiest way to get rid of the processed carbs, calm down your fat cells. We call it a boot camp for your fat cells, but not for you, because the idea is to eat as much as you want. Cutting back calories, making yourself hungry, is not going to get you there over the long term. And then we transition to 40% fat, which is sort of kind of like a Mediterranean diet, sort of like America ate in the 1950s before the low-fat craze, but then with the right kinds of fat in the 60s, 70s, even more so in the 70s and 80s, saturated fat was considered public health enemy number one, and that was one reason why we started getting all the trans fats, these partially hydrogenated vegetable oils, which unfortunately turned out to be far worse than the saturated fat they replaced. Now some people are arguing that saturated fat is a health food, and I think the truth is likely in the middle. Saturated fat differs. There are many different kinds. The ones in butter are different from the ones in meat. Butter, saturated fat have odd chain lengths, and meat or even chain lengths. And then there's short chain saturated fats like in coconut, and there's long chain. They all have different effects. Too much saturated fat, I believe the research suggests, can be inflammatory. But if we try to get rid of all saturated fats, you give up foods that are demonstrably at the top of the list of health, like real dark chocolate, the kind without a lot of sugar, looks really great, and most of the calories from dark chocolate are actually saturated fat. So with the focus on whole foods, we can get out of the nutrient counting and either demonizing fat or glorifying saturated fat, and come up with a balanced program that is reminiscent of the foods that would have supported body weight for generations without us having to count calories or count numbers.
Now, if you look at our food eating habits, there's so many places we can go with our conversation, because this book is packed full of information. So the phase one of your work, and how long are the phases? But phase one is conquer cravings. Phase two, retain your fat cells, retrain your fat cells. Phase three, lose weight permanently. Tell me how long the phases are.
Right. Yeah, those are the parts of the subtitle of the book. The main title is Always Hungry with a question mark. So the first phase is 2 weeks, and that we want to really just jump in and retrain those fat cells as quickly as possible, put the body into weight loss mode. Phase two, we bring back whole kernel grains and a touch of added sugar, and then you stay in that phase as your weight comes down to its new lower set point. And then phase three, you get to add back a little bit of processed carbs and play around with the balance, creating a personal prescription that's right for you. We know that one size doesn't fit all, and no diet book author can tell you what's exactly right for you, so we have tracking tools and symptom check sheets to help you find that right balance that gives you maximum flexibility, maximum of benefit with a minimum of deprivation.
The book is Always Hungry by David Ludwig, MD, PhD from Harvard. We'll come back and ask him some specific questions about foods in the diet and other things.
MD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Michael Roizen, MD. Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Show, a show that is passionate about letting you take control so that you can manage your health. David Ludwig is our guest author this week. The book, Always Hungry with a Question Mark, is a wonderful book that helps explain the differences in science as well as get you on a very unusual path, that is to retrain your fat cells. And you can, people have asked me about his website. It's drdavidludwig.com, DavidLudwig.com. But he also has a Facebook page where you can follow the diet and learn from it with no commercial interest in mind. David, tell us how to get to that website.
Yes, that's the official Always Hungry book community on Facebook, the official Always Hungry book community. And my wife, who did the recipes and meal plan, she's a gourmet natural food chef, and I oversee it, and we have a group of moderators, and we, you know, help. We've got 3,000 people already who are following the program, sharing recipes, supporting each other. And ultimately, we want to create a grassroots campaign, because after healing ourselves and eating better, we also need to work together to try to make the social environment more supportive of healthy eating, and that's in our communities, also on the national level. And, you know, why aren't we hearing about food policy during the political debates going on now? We're hearing a lot of, you know, stuff that's much less important than chronic disease prevention.
I'm into hearing to doing more with hearing about this, and especially about buddy systems and groups that help one another. I'm actually interested in how you chose that one of the, and by the way, when you go through the book, there's a day-by-day plan and wonderful recipes and ways to make the food, so you don't have to listen. But in the people who listen to my show regularly know that I say that we shouldn't eat egg yolks or carnitine, that is red meat, things with carnitine, lecithin, and choline, because they end up as trimethylamine, which the body converts to the very inflammatory trimethylamine oxide. Tell me, how you got away from that in your, or how you get away from that in your own writing, David?
Right. Well, you know, I'll point out that the meal plan does have options for meat and dairy, but we also have vegetarian options as well. And I think there is no clear evidence that, as some would argue now, that we have to get rid of all animal products in order to be healthy, that meat is inherently toxic. And at the same time, you know, I would agree with folks like Colin Campbell that having a plant-based diet, whole foods plant-based diet, is healthy. But there are ethical issues, there are environmental issues, but we didn't want to make that decision for everybody. We give people options for how they want to proceed. Now, in terms of TMAO, that is a very interesting and evolving study. These foods that you mentioned, depending upon your gut microbiome, get converted into substances, TMAO in the blood. It gets absorbed into blood, and based on some research, suggests that it is very atherogenic. It can increase heart disease risk. But you know, the food that has the highest TMAO of any food that I know is cod. And some other fish. These fish use that substance as an antifreeze, basically. And fish consumption, as we know, is pretty consistently associated with protection against heart disease, diabetes, and even weight gain. So I think the whole story there is yet to come out. And eggs themselves, you know, some people are allergic, for some people it can be a bit inflammatory. But for others, I think it can be helpful and and again, we've got to find our own, craft a program that's right for us. And we help people sort of listen to their body and figure out, you know, how to fine tune.
Well, I think they, I'm not going to disagree with most of what you said, but I do think that the TMA story now is pretty well established rather than being still experimental. Cod is the fit food with the highest level, but it's not because of the bacteria in your gut causing that. But if you want to eat, so just this is my own editorial comment for our listeners, if you want to eat fish without TMAO, it's much lower in ocean trout and in salmon, even if the salmon isn't wild. But one of the ways you can tell is if it's got a fishy smell, it's got TMAO in it. So you don't want to have fish that have fishy smells, and it's not the fish produce it. It is actually that they've eaten something that causes TMAO production in them. David, the book is you've got this community, and it's building. How do you use the buddy system? How is it going as far as grabbing a Facebook area and building on it? How are you finding that? Is that difficult? Is it time consuming?
Your community support is so important. I mean, even, you know, just yesterday, the Pope in his latest statement talked about how stressful life is, how busy everyone is, how isolated so many people are today, and the critical importance of, well, from his perspective, of the church being a gathering place. But there are many places, of course, to gather in society and to support each other. And our Facebook community, we're trying to create a community that's based on a culture of health and support, both personally and then ultimately in our communities, to get together with like-minded people in our communities and to demand that schools get rid of the junk food and that they make sure that to reserve enough funding so that they can offer children recreation and after-school physical activities and the like. And then ultimately we all can vote with our we can vote with our fork, and every time we choose to eat the right foods, we give the food industry a powerful message to serve us better if we make the right choices. We also vote with the ballot to get politicians into office that are going to put public health over special interest and private profit. And we've got
David, there's
we've got
one quick
together.
Question. I should, David. There's one quick question. This person says, "I'm giving a talk later today. What should I have right before the talk to give me the most uplifting energy?"
Okay, well, if you had lunch, then as a snack, have some real dark chocolate and a few roasted pecans. Make sure it's like, if you really want to do it right, 85%. And that's going to get you, you know, into a nice zone for the talk.
We've been talking with the author of Always Hungry? David Ludwig. A great book. It is wonderful.